Please turn with me now to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And this evening I'm finishing up the mini-series that I started, I believe it was before going to the US a number of weeks ago, on the temptations of Christ. And we'll be considering the third of those temptations this evening. But I'll begin reading in the beginning of the chapter and from the beginning of the temptations. Give now your attention to God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Brothers and sisters, friends, we, all of us, are called, whoever we are, wherever we've come from, to trust the truths of God's word. We are called to act in faith, to live life in faith. But the devil who is real, is not just a figment of people's imaginations or an ancient fairy tale. The devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is crafty. He has been crafty from the beginning, and he often twists this need for faith, so that it is really presumption. He tempts us to presume upon our God rather than to trust him in faith. And that's exactly what we see going on here in this third temptation of Christ this evening. The devil has already offered Jesus various temptations, but here he is seeking to tempt our Savior to act not in faith but in presumption. And in this passage, we not only have much reason to give praise to our God for our Savior, for his victory over the devil, without which he would not have been able to be our Savior. We must remember that he is the new man, the one who is sent to overcome the devil, as Adam was overcome rather than the one who overcame. And Jesus was also sent to be the replacement Israel, whose 40 days in the wilderness were days of faithfulness rather than Israel's 40 years in the wilderness being those of faithlessness and testing God. So there's much in this passage that leads us to praise of our Savior as we see his work resisting the devil on our behalf, that he might be our Savior. But there's also here that which is relevant to us. Because the devil comes to us with his wiles even today. And we, by the Spirit, are those who are to walk in Christ's footsteps in resisting the devil. And so, my title, as I seek to exhort us unto this, is Presumption versus Faith. Presumption versus faith. And I have simply two points: the temptation and Jesus' response. The temptation and Jesus' response. As we read just a moment ago, after failing to tempt Christ to turn a stone into bread and thus to fulfill his desires in a way which would have taken him off the track of obedience to his Father, and after failing to tempt Christ to take a shortcut on his way to exaltation and to bow and worship before him rather than go to exaltation via the cross, after having failed in these two temptations, the devil tries a third. And he takes our Lord to the highest point of the temple. We're not exactly sure where that was, but in a sense it doesn't really matter. The point is that it was a great height. And quite possibly he's doing this in a vision, just like the Spirit had taken Ezekiel to the land of Israel and to Jerusalem in a vision. But he takes him up to the highest point of the temple. And having noticed that Christ has been quoting back to him the word of God, the devil here takes it upon himself to quote to our Lord from the word of God. And he says to our Lord, "Throw yourself down. God will take care of you." And he quotes from Psalm 91, a psalm about the man who trusts in God, who has made God his refuge, and thus receives the promise from God that he will deliver him because he has set his love upon him. And the devil here, he's seeking to twist the scriptures to tempt our Lord. And he's saying, you're God's son. God cares a great deal about you. If there ever was one who had made the Lord his refuge, if there ever was one who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High, if there ever was one who had set their love upon God, if there is ever one who God has called out, then surely it would be you. And therefore, trust God, believe his promise, and prove God's goodness, and jump, and he will take care of you. Now, there's a warning here for us, because what we see the devil doing here, and we'll think about this a little bit more as we go on, but what we see the devil doing is using the scriptures. He's twisting them, and we'll see how he is, but he's using the scriptures. And the warning for us is that we need to be on our guard for this. It's not as if the devil doesn't know the scriptures. In fact, the devil probably knows the scriptures better than some of us, or even all of us. And so we need to be on our guard, that when he comes to us and perhaps even brings certain scriptures to mind, that we're thinking about them clearly, that they're not being twisted. Because, you know, that's exactly what the devil did back with Adam and Eve. He twisted the word of God. Of course, Jesus is the perfect embodiment of all that this psalm talks about. But the devil is deliberately missing the point. God is not at the beck and call of the righteous man. It's not as if the righteous man can just get God to do whatever he wants whenever he wants it. No, the point is that for the one who gives himself unto God in humble reliance, in submission and faith, God promises to deliver him. God promises to protect him in his own timing and in his own sovereign way. But he promises to protect and deliver him. So what the devil was doing was he was taking a truth, something that was true, but he was asking our Lord to misuse that, as if the righteous man could just take this promise and deal with God, as if God was a vending machine, as if God was at his beck and call. The temptation is hiding presumption as if it's faith. You see, presumption seeks to use God rather than entrust ourselves to God and seek his glory. It seeks to use God for our own ends rather than to submit ourselves to his ways. And one specific way that this can happen is by sort of trying to use God as an insurance policy against the consequences of our own foolishness. Perhaps like jumping out of a plane without a parachute and expecting God to sort of provide one on the way down or save us in some miraculous way. Of course, that's kind of a silly example, but you get the idea. Similarly, presumption demands that God deliver us from our own willful disobedience, as would be the case if you jumped out of a plane without a parachute, because you wouldn't be following the commandment to care for your own life. Presumption misapplies the promises of God, as the devil was doing here. And presumption is ultimately centered around us, our desires, and our wants. But faith, on the other hand, faith seeks God's glory. Faith entrusts ourselves to God according to his word and rests on his promises for his glory. Faith submits to God rather than trying to force his hand. Faith submits to God rather than trying to force his hand. And brothers and sisters, we are vulnerable to this same temptation today as well. Perhaps we might sometimes ask the Lord that we might grow, but not be very willing to use the means of grace that are in our hand. Perhaps we might unnecessarily expose ourselves to sin, to temptation. Perhaps we might not do the proper planning or count the cost of something and expect our God to sort things out and to act as if this is a great act of faith. These things are often subtle. We're often going after a good thing. And things like this can seem like they're for the glory of God, when really, deep down, they're about us. So we need to be on our guard against this temptation to presume upon God, this temptation that the devil hides presumption as if it were faith. And we need to respond in the same way that our Lord responded. So how is that? Well, I want to direct your attention back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, because our Lord quotes from that passage. He says, it has been said, you shall not test or tempt the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16 says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You see, as I said earlier, the people of God were about to go into the promised land. And this passage is all about calling them to faithfulness, to heart obedience to God out of love for God. And here in this scripture, Moses is referring back to a former incident when they were in the wilderness and they were without water and they were complaining against God. And God does provide for them. But the real issue is that they say, is the Lord among us or not? It was as if they were saying, God needs to act in the way that we want to show that he is here amongst us. He needs to provide for us if he's here. Otherwise, we won't believe it. It was almost like the Pharisees as they interacted with Christ and they asked for a sign. They were seeking to force his hand, not humbly looking really to whether he was the Son of God. And here in Deuteronomy, Moses is saying, don't approach God like that. Rather, approach him as is in the context of that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Right after that verse, it says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he commanded you. Don't seek to force God's hand, but seek to walk in his ways and entrust yourself to him. And Jesus is saying back to the devil, he is saying, of course I'm the Son of God. Of course my Father cares about me. But true faith is not forcing his hand, but trusting in him according to his promises and his word. You, devil, are twisting God's words, and you have no right to cause me to plead this promise in a wrong way. You have no right to tempt me in this way. Faith, it is true, will often involve us doing things that seem humanly impossible or even irresponsible. But faith will always be that which is in line with the commands of God. It will always be that which rests on the promises of God. And its heart will always be one of submission to God and desire for his glory. Now, I'm thankful that God graciously often bails us out of our presumption. He often saves us from the full consequences of not exercising faith. Oftentimes we can presume upon him, and yet he deals so graciously with us. And that is glorious. But it doesn't justify our presumption. We are to be like our Lord and to respond back to the devil, this is not the way to deal with our God. So, brothers and sisters, friends, perhaps you are here and you've been convicted tonight of misunderstanding or misusing God. Perhaps you've seen him as a holy God tonight, a God who can't just be used, a God who's created you, a God who sustains you and calls you to obedience in him and to serve him. If that's you, confess your wrong use of God and look to Christ, who is gracious, that you might find in him forgiveness. And that you might find by the work of the Holy Spirit that you are enabled to rest upon him in faith. If you're a believer and you've been misusing God, presuming upon him and calling it faith, again, confess that and look back to Christ. Because he resisted this temptation, he was able to be the perfect sacrifice even for your presumption. And he is therefore able to receive you in grace. Praise him for this. Praise him for his perfect resisting of the devil. Because in that is our hope. In that is our salvation. And take courage to resist the devil yourself. You notice how all of this ends. In verse 13, it says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Our Lord resists, resists, resists. And what happens? The devil goes away. It's just like we read about in James. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And the same is true of us today. If we resist, he will retreat. Take courage when you are under temptation. Continue to be faithful. Continue to look in your weakness unto Christ, and you will prevail. And then resist. Resist the devil's attempts to hide presumption as faith. Ask yourself, as I'm seeking to do this thing that perhaps seems like it's stepping out in faith, whose glory is it really for? Ask yourself that question. Does this cause me to break any of the commands? Is it really grounded on the principles of God's word? Is God's word being twisted at all in my thinking as I seek to justify this? And don't expect those answers necessarily to be black and white. The devil is subtle, as we've seen. And of course, these things are not cut and dry. They require much prayer and soul searching. And we can't lay down specific rules. But struggle with these questions. Ask yourself these questions. If we resist, we can expect blessing, even as God promises people blessing in Deuteronomy. And again, where we have failed and where we might fail in the future, confess your sin and look back to Christ for his forgiveness, that we might be a people that humbly, faithfully walk before our God in true faith and not that which presumes upon him. Let us pray. O Lord God, we ask that you would help us, that you would help us in our weakness against the wiles of the devil, that you would give us wisdom, that we would not presume upon you, but that we would act according to your word, that we would rest upon your promises, that we would act in true faith. We thank you for the ways that you have enabled us to do this in the past, the ways you have blessed our faith in the past as a church and as individuals. And we pray that you would help us as we seek to move forward, that you would give us wisdom and that you would protect us, that we might live and work for your glory. We ask these things through Christ. Amen.